Pandemonium Reigns.
Pandemonium Reigns podcast. What is up? Happy Friday, happy day, happy night. Thank you for checking it out whenever you're checking it out. We appreciate it so much. It's going to be a fun one. Talking about continuing in the vein, in the lane that we've been in, previewing the 2024 Texas Longhorns. There will be no horns downing on this episode, as it were. Flying at you solo today. Life has caught up with us once again. It's been another couple weeks or so since we've been able to get an episode out to you, which we hate. But thank you so much for checking this one out. Flying solo because your boy Dan is doing some world traveling, spreading the gospel, doing the Lord's work on the mission field. Grateful and thankful for that he's able to do that. We miss him for sure. He'll be back with us very soon, no doubt. Surprised that Dan gave me the go-ahead to talk about these Texas Longhorns because of the program that they are and how fun they are. How high they're, you know, we've been looking at ceilings and floors, and my God, their ceiling is like number one in the nation, winning the national title. One loss is very, very real. I'm going to get into all that. Can't wait to do it. Want to talk about them just a little bit before diving into the schedule, into the, you know, the meat and the potatoes. Took just in, you know, glancing at them, prepping very lightly, shooting very much from the hip, not really necessarily, but just looking at them, coming off of two back-to-back top five high school recruiting classes. That matters obviously less than ever with the transfer portal being wide open, with NIL, with the name of the game that is, you know, college football today, obviously. But coming off of back-to-back top five classes nonetheless, while doing some pretty good work in the portal to go along with that, the 2024 transfer portal class was number six in the country. It almost works out the way you would want it to work out when the new college football game comes out. They're losing three stars, four stars in the portal. They're bringing in some three stars for sure, but bringing in some names like Isaiah Bond. You know, they're picking up guys that Alabama saw leave when Saban left. You know, Amari Knoblauch from Alabama as well. Kendrick Blackshire from Alabama as well. Bringing in some pretty good names, some four stars and definitely some three stars, though losing, to me, nothing crazy. The number was 25 that they lost while bringing in 11, but still, six-rated class on 247, bringing in some very high-profile names. Really, to me, you don't have to go much further than Isaiah Bond and potentially Amari Knoblauch if he puts it all together on the field, especially Isaiah Bond. My goodness, the explosiveness of that man. Agent 007, whatever you want to go with, you know, the iron bowl that was and the nail through the heart of Auburn football that game was, that outcome was, and he was on the receiving end of it. He's so explosive and so electric, and who else but Steve Sarkisian to land someone like that and to replenish pieces of that receiver room that were hit by the draft. You know, we're seeing Texas football kind of do right now what they're supposed to do with Steve Sarkisian, you know, who has an extremely volatile past. We know some success, some definite low spots personally on and off the field. But, you know, Texas has been through it. Texas has hired and fired with the best of them. They have hired the up-and-coming names. Seemingly, the guy that everybody wanted, save for, like, Will Muschamp back in the day when he chose Florida, rather than wait it out, you know, and go Texas. They've hired and fired a plenty, and I'm not going to necessarily say that Sarkisian was my guy that I had getting them back into doing some of what they should be doing. But they're definitely heading in a positive direction, coming off of their first playoff appearance, falling to the Washington Huskies, obviously, as they did for the Huskies to make it into the CFP title game. And square off with Michigan, you know, great result in the early parts still of Sarkisian's tenure there, in the early parts of Quinn Ewers' career, and, you know, haven't even mentioned QB1 yet. They're in a perfect spot in their QB. They're where you want to be in the QB room. You've got Quinn Ewers, who had all of the name recognition, all the profile that the high profile quarterbacks come out of high school with. Though he went to Ohio State first, you know, with some weird NIL stuff happening there in terms of who could earn as a recruit coming out. I think he came out of Texas, obviously, but you know, who could earn at that point, who could not, and I think that obviously played a role, but he's back. He's back in, you know, in the burnt orange brown of the Texas Longhorns, and I don't have him dropping off very much based off the season that he gave us, you know. Kind of a gunslinger, fun to watch. Didn't know that really that it would pan out as well as it did last year is what I'm getting at. And again, he's back with a boatload of weapons with, you know, some stability for once at Texas, which I think is great for the sport. I'm one of those, you know. I think Texas and some of those programs like them that have been down need to get back for the health of the sport, for the interest of the sport, for those poor fan bases. Speaking from a Tennessee fan's point of view, obviously, want to see Texas do well. It's kind of like Nebraska. And those two things do not go together, but kind of want to see Nebraska get back and get at it. Florida State went through it there briefly, coming off of Jimbo. Want to see them maintain what they're doing while, you know, continue to do what they're doing. So things are looking up for Texas in just every way. I mean, on the field, still killing it off the field, recruiting. That should never be a concern at Texas, and it's not right now. So just really credit to Sarkisian for those things. Credit to the staff. I want to mention, and I'm not doing this to, you know, poke at Sarkisian or poke at Texas, but, you know, we saw that incident leading into the bowl game in coming off the 2022 season where he just snapped. I mean, he went berserk on an analyst or a lower-level staffer, that maybe the get-back guy, I don't know. But there was an incident there that Sarkisian just went buck wild and lit into a guy for, you know, a few seconds. Things like that. Didn't necessarily see that this working out all that well. And partly because it's not worked out at Texas, partly because Sarkisian has the up and down nature, because, you know, he's someone that can go orchestrate a 2020 Alabama offense, but hasn't yet really sustained a program as head ball coach. So good for him, good for the program, obviously. Kind of want to see these things continue as, you know, a Tennessee fan far off over here, though the paths will be crossing much more in the future. I'm here for that, you know. I don't believe Tennessee and Texas have played my lifetime. There were some years there that are blurry, obviously, as a child, not being checked up on my history now. But we need to see those games, and I'm excited for them, though. You know, right now, Texas definitely has the hand up and, you know, the advantage, obviously, if they were meeting this year instead of Tennessee-Oklahoma. I would give Texas all the advantages in the world because of the continuity that we think we're seeing in their program, and mainly QB1 being back, QB1 having all the potential in the world in Knoxville, but being green with some probably greener weapons and protection than Quinn Ewers is going to have for the 2024 season. But want to dip into their schedule, just kind of walk through it real quick. You know, if you've been listening to this series, if you will, that we're going to look at the ceiling and the floor. Obviously going to give my prediction. I've kind of foreshadowed to it being pretty kind to the Longhorns. And then I'm going to talk about a swing game, that one as well. No spoilers, but might be the Red River Rivalry, because what a game that is, how fun that series is. You know, probably going to be that game. But there are some other candidates that we're going to look at for sure. It's positioned really, really risky, you know, riskily, if that's a word, for the Longhorns, and at a perfect grab your popcorn point of the season, in the heart of the season, in terms of the games that it's surrounded by, what's going on in that part. But before we get into their schedule, before we talk predictions and ceilings and floors, I want to go ahead and tell you about our friends North Forsyth Training and Fitness, our sponsor for this episode, NFTF, located 4015 Browns Bridge Road. If you're in the coming Georgia area and ready to change your life physically or looking for a new gym, NFTF is the place to do it. Jesse Foster, owner and head coach, he's got all the credentials, all the experience to really help you reach your goals. Morning classes, afternoons, early evening classes, there's surely a time to fit your schedule. Community-driven gym, you're going to do this. You're going to achieve your goals with really people that you'll call your friends as you go there. Contact Jesse, check out what NFTF is all about, 706-633-6609. Let him know that your boys at the Pandemonium Reigns podcast sent you to him. All right, without further ado, let's take a look at the schedule. Just talk through it briefly. And then I can't wait to really talk ceiling and floor. Pretty high floor. Pretty high ceiling. All the things line up pretty well for this Texas Longhorns football team. If, you know, again, they continue to break away from recent Texas within the last 10 or so of, you know, really after the championship appearance with Alabama, the events after that, if they continue to break away from those things, boy, it sets up really nicely for the Longhorns in 2024. We haven't really done this, but I'm going to say probably 75 to 80, 90% chance that they're in your college football playoff once we see the dust settle from the season that awaits us. Starting off, they're going to host Colorado State August 31st before a trip to the Big House to face the Michigan Wolverines with all the newness of Michigan. They're going to come back home, face UTSA and Louisiana Monroe, followed by Mississippi State. That's a pretty lighthearted first half almost of the schedule, if you if you want to look at it that way. Sets up pretty nicely, minus the difficulties of playing at Michigan, but that's kind of met with the newness of Michigan. New head coach, first-time head coach, new quarterback. Whispers of how is that going in Ann Arbor. Doesn't maybe seem that the continuity is going to be there in the pass game, but defensively and with the offensive line, the units that they've had there, the run game should be really strong still. You're going to have maybe every piece but QB figured out going into the season. New weapons outside for Alex Orji or whoever wins the job there. Not going to get too far into the game just yet. Bye week following hosting Mississippi State and those Bulldogs, Red River Rivalry. Oklahoma, Dallas in the Cotton Bowl. You know it. We know it. Just pencil it in. It's the prime time, 3:30, whatever slot, whatever channel we're on now. I guess ESPN on ABC this year. SEC on ABC / ESPN this year, if I could talk. And this is where the schedule is really tricky. You've got the magnitude, all the pageantry, everything that is the Triple R Red River Rivalry. Then you host. Nobody here, just the Georgia Bulldogs who are going to be pissed off, mad. Kirby's got them thinking they're going 4-8. Everybody's saying it, guys. We're going 4-8 this year. Just book it. You're not even good enough to prevent us from going 4-8. Texas is going to murder us. That's what Kirby is saying right now. I'm just giving you a preview and look into that. Lightens back up a good bit there. They travel to Nashville, which will be fun for the away fans, playing Vanderbilt, followed by the second bye week in this new weird format that we're in. And then they're going to host Florida, travel to Arkansas, host Kentucky, travel to College Station for a heavily anticipated look back into this beloved rivalry. This one is just so fun. Should have never been out of the game at any point in time. Hate the big money, hate the contracts, hate the conference realignments that prevent things like Texas A&M from being a staple. And every year, thank God that game is back. Sorry, Texas A&M, about your feelings. Big brother of old, the school of the state is back in your conference. And frankly, they're positioned a little bit better than you are right now. With that said, I know I gave some feelings about some of these games, but Colorado State, you're starting 1-0. You're going as a 1-0 team to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Now we're going to dive a little bit deeper since we've just laid it out there. I alluded to this one a moment ago. Michigan, lots of new, so much new. I mean, as little new as you can have with a new head coach in terms of promoting from within. You know, this year's quarterback was on last year's team. He just wasn't QB1. This year's running back was on last year's team. He just wasn't RB1 because Blake Corum held that crap down. A lot of the weapons on the outside are going to be, you know, emerging sophomores and juniors, guys that didn't play a ton but have definitely played in the maize and blue. And then you've got a lot of continuity on the defensive side everywhere, really, from defensive front to back. I know they lost Sinistril and some other guys in the secondary, but you've got big pieces back. I mean, you've got the chance to really continue what Harbaugh finally got going there, you know, several years into his stint. But you're hosting an extremely ferocious offense, at least led by Quinn Ewers in these Texas Longhorns. I'm leaning on whatever day today is. I don't even know right now because I'm coming back from vacation myself. It's Wednesday, June 5th. I'm going to get this out as soon as possible. I'm leaning on June 5th towards the Texas Longhorns because of offensive continuity, because of today's game and the nature of it. I know we've had some renaissance pieces back in terms of what we've seen the last couple of years post-COVID, but I'm going to lean to the extreme continuity rather than mostly continuity of Michigan. I'm going to lean that Texas is 2-0 coming out of Ann Arbor, heading for a three-game, well, really what's going to be a five-game win streak, to me, no question, because UTSA, we've seen UTSA give some teams a run for their money, but now they've got a new quarterback to do it with. Louisiana Monroe, I'm very sorry. You're not going to Austin and defeating these Longhorns. You're not slipping up on them. It's not happening again. Mississippi State, good luck, Lebby. I mean, you're gonna need a bunch of points on this day. And good luck getting one stop, one punt, unless it's an arm punt. Ewers making a decision here or there. We've seen him do it because he's a gunslinger. But again, man, the theme so far, and I notice a lot of themes in solo episodes that I do, but the theme is continuity. There is none in Starkville. There is none at Mississippi State right now. The continuity favors Texas and the Longhorns. Starting 5-0 for me, sure, Michigan is a toss-up, probably at worst. I don't see it as a surefire loss. I see it as a pretty likely win, toss-up at worst. 5-0 start with a bye week to gear up for the Red River Rivalry, followed by the Georgia Bulldogs. Okay, swing game. How about a swing two-week period? Because if you manage to beat Oklahoma, also emerging from a bad year in Venable's first year, but now you beat Texas last year when you were not expected to do so. Yeah, you lost Dylan Gabriel, but insert Jackson Arnold. The problem probably being that you insert four or five new offensive line pieces and a bevy of weapons and defenders around them. But again, Oklahoma, the Red River Rivalry is like the swing game of all swing games. And Oklahoma, it's favored Oklahoma recently. We all know it. There's been years when Texas should have won it based on who they were coming into the game and the season. There's been games that they've had won on the field up until they didn't. Found ways to lose it. Goofy, stupid ways of not quite Miami, you know, should have been kneeling the ball against Georgia Tech. But goofy stuff has happened because that's what happens in rivalry games. That's what happens when they're college athletes and not professionals. And it even happens to professionals as well. It's not like there are no upsets or no goof-ups to that magnitude on Sundays. But it is the Red River Rivalry. It is Oklahoma. It is Texas. And again, the continuity, the on-the-field look at these teams with just, okay, combination here of new quarterback and new offensive line. One of those things should be enough on if the opponent was anybody but Oklahoma for us to say Texas wins that game. 6-0 start. Hey, we're going bowling. That's what that is. But this is the Red River Rivalry. Stupid stuff happens. Me, again, early June here, two months before we even get into fall camps anywhere, probably. You know, there's going to be some early ones because there's some week zero games and all that good stuff. But early June, I'm right there where I was with the Michigan game. The worst I can call this is a toss-up for Texas. Everything favors them. They beat you last year, and they had no business doing it, and you let them do it. Not that you let them, but they did it, right? You got to go get revenge in season for that loss last year. You've got to try to assert, stack some wins because you've not done that in a while. Obviously, you're only winning, you know, you're trying to start a streak. You're not continuing on to a streak. You know, Oklahoma's looking to do that. And again, though it's new talent, though it's young talent, it's talent in Norman, Oklahoma because it's Oklahoma. Brent Venables knows a thing or two about defense. He absolutely does. Can't tell me otherwise. You know, we thought we had Oklahoma buried in the grave there when they started out around 500 in his first year, and it just doesn't look like that's going to be the case because they've got weapons, they've got talent, they seemingly always do. So, for me, toss-up at worst, leaning Texas because how can't you? I'm sorry. I'm not a hot take guy. I'm not just going to be like, oh, yeah, Oklahoma, because I want to make a headline or catch some attention. That's not me. How I see it is Texas is starting 6-0 with the back-to-back national champions, except minus 1 year, Georgia Bulldogs, coming to town. Okay, there's literally like flip the conversation for Michigan and Texas, right? Everything for me in early June has to go perfectly for you to beat Georgia until it doesn't. And they've got the continuity. That's been the theme of my conversation here. They've got the continuity. They feed the draft every year now. It's what they do. They did it a little less this year because they've had, 23 picks in each of the last couple years before, exaggerating only a little bit. Only a little bit. Okay, Carson Beck is back. Some weapons back. Yeah, he loses Brock Bowers, yada, yada. Loses a running back, yada, yada. Defenders going pro, we know it. Where has that mattered in the regular season? In the months of late August to early December or late November, where has that mattered against Georgia? Again, I told you what Kirby's saying. Guys, media's saying we're going 4-8, and you haven't proven to me that we're not going 4-8 yet. So, pack it up or earn your draft pick, or earn your spot in the draft right now. Those are the things that he can say. The motivation factor is so extreme. I mean, even he might even be off to – he's definitely off to a better start, coming off of a title at least, than Saban was after his first one at Alabama, because there was that year in 2010 or, 2010 or so, right there after the first one that Saban got there, where it was not what we've seen. So he's off to a great start on that front. Who beats Georgia in the regular season? And I think we can say that up until someone does it, and probably does it every year or every other year. I mean, I think that's the consistency that we would need to say to see to be able to say things like Texas over Georgia, even at home, where we saw Alabama struggle before Texas beat Alabama last year. And they had a world of issues at that time. Quarterback was a disaster. Bill Rhodes' decision-making was awful at the time. They didn't know how to use him, or they weren't using him effectively at the time. So we did see Texas beat Alabama. But again, we would see Alabama take some regular season losses here and there. Since, the 2021 season, if it's not Saban on the other sideline, who's been beating Georgia in the regular season? So just going to flip the conversation, flipping the continuity. It favors the Bulldogs. And I think in this case, you're saying it's toss up at best, but to me, it's way more of a probable loss to Georgia than it is a probable win versus Oklahoma versus Michigan. If I had to rank those games in difficulty, it's Georgia, probably Michigan because it's on the road further away. I know the rivalry aspects and things that I mentioned are there, but just looking at the pieces, and, the new quarterback and the new offensive line for Oklahoma probably comes in at number three. The good thing is that it does get a lot lighter from here on out. So I've really just tapped into maybe and probably their first loss of the year. You're going to turn around and go to Nashville. That game is comparable to your Colorado State. It's not even comparable to your UTSA or your Louisiana Monroe. That's comparable to your Colorado State or Colorado pre-Dion when they had, only transfers out, no transfers in. So at Vanderbilt, 1 week after maybe taking your first loss of the year, second probably at worst, you're going to get right back on the correct track in Nashville. The crowd is going to be 90% burnt orange probably. I mean, if they want to travel that far, depending on how the Georgia – if they beat Georgia, Vanderbilt will be like – there'll be three of them there, and it's only players' parents, only the ones that can make it that week. That's just how it's going to be. They're getting back on the right track against Vanderbilt because that's what you do. This bye week, November 2nd, positioned very nicely because, yeah, you've gotten back on the right track. Now you get a chance to heal up just a little bit. 2 weeks, after you've traveled to Nashville, you're back on the right foot. You host the Florida Gators, and, man, world of issues in Gainesville. We've not talked about them in this format yet, but just we've mentioned them. We've not done an episode dedicated to them, but we have mentioned them. Just everything that's going on for the Gators, it's not pretty. It's not what it's Texas before they got back on the right track, except it's probably a little bit worse just in terms of firepower and what you have on the roster. It should never be like this in Gainesville. I don't mind it. If you look at the logo on my hat, if you look at the beautiful items behind me, let them stay there. I don't care. Leading up to saying Texas wins this game, they're still on the right track following that tough game, that tough stretch, Oklahoma, Georgia, whatever happens. I think you're probably splitting that at worst if I didn't say that out loud. You're traveling to Arkansas. Sorry, I'm not scared. Here's another game that I want to see. This is something I'd like to see more of, Texas, Arkansas. I don't like that we've been unable to see some games like that. Not that they are, any form of the rivals that Oklahoma, Texas A&M, some of those schools are, but I want to see that game. I'm here for it. Texas gets the win. Kentucky at Texas. It's the same conversation, except now it's scaled back some, okay? maybe Brock Vandergrift is freaky there. We've seen Kentucky bring in quarterbacks the last few years, transfers that have done well in games. They've done terrible at moments. They've been of varying levels of high profile and lower profile. Brock Vandergrift comes in with a lot of buzz. I'm just saying they've kind of had this guy. They've kind of had Liam Cohen, then they haven't. Now there's some drama because, and we've talked about it a little bit, but Stoops almost left. He was out the door. Texas A&M shot it down. Where's the team at in that regard? I don't know. Tough. That's a tough matchup for Kentucky. I'm not willing to go toss up here. Texas wins this game until they don't. So you're looking at either win 7, 8, or 9, depending on how you handled the Oklahoma-Georgia stretch. You've obviously won Vanderbilt and Florida at this point. That's the second to last weekend of the season, leading into a rivalry week showdown. Oh, I can't wait to watch this game. I hope that the probably Thanksgiving Saturday, if you will, I hope there's nothing going on that day. I hope I'm back in town. Hope I'm back on my couch watching Texas in College Station to the Aggies. My only wish for this game, if I could change one thing for this specific game, is that Jimbo made it into this year, because I think he needs this rivalry, or this rivalry needs him, might be the better way to say it. Fisher Petrino worked for one more year than it did in reality, and we get Sarkisian coming to the opposing sideline. All the continuity reasons point to the Longhorns, of course. Theme of the episode, shocker. I bet you're shocked to hear me say that. I'm leaning Texas on this. That's really a surprise, I'm sure. But I am leaning Texas. hard to point me away from them, for sure, because of what Texas A&M lost, because of the unrest, probably in terms of depth. I believe in Elko. I believe Elko could be anywhere from fine to a playoff contender on a semi-regular basis. But leaning Texas for sure on this instance, on this day, I'll be leaning, shocker, burnt orange. So just to put a bow on ceiling floor, well, I just covered it. The ceiling for me is 11-1, 12-0. I'm not willing to say you beat Georgia, even at home. So I'm going 11-1 for your ceiling. But to me, things would have to go disastrously bad. Here's the thing. A lot of times when we talk about floors for a good team, it's like, well, what if Quinn Ewers or QB1 gets hurt? Well, you've now got second-year Arch Manning, and he doesn't have a ton of real-life bullets coming at you, reps. He doesn't have that, but he's got a lot around him. He's got a great offensive-minded staff that can probably find a way to use him. He's not transferred. He doesn't seem to be the new-age guy that would have – I mean, I'm sorry to say it, and I've talked about some of the reasons why, but he's not going to Quinn Ewers out of the place because he didn't earn the job over a future first-round pick. You know what I mean? I'm not even taking a shot at Quinn Ewers. He's just been the more of the norm. Arch Manning, perhaps taking us back. I mean, that name, Archie, that's an old school name. Maybe that's the guy that he is. I don't know. So it's like, to talk about the floor, I talked about two toss-ups and a loss. Do you lose all three of those games? It's hard for me to believe that Texas could lose all three of those games without Quinn Ewers even. You got Arch Manning. You've got competition there. You've got pretty great depth developing across the board. I have to dig really deep, but you can say 9-3. I'd say your floor is probably 10-2, and that's bananas. 10-2, 11-1. That's literally a one-game difference, obviously, math. But, I mean, that's where I'm at because of what they've got in place. The big, ginormous word of the day, continuity, because of that. I mean, it's just hard for me to see things not going pretty dang well in Austin. It is. Swing game, talked about this as well. But how is it not Oklahoma? Yeah, you can say it's Michigan. But and look, maybe you lose to Michigan and you come back and you win three straight, UTSA, ULM, Mississippi State, and then you deal with Oklahoma. But to me, it's Oklahoma because of the magnitude of the rivalry, because of the hatred, because they got you last year and they shouldn't have. Because they've done that a lot, and they've kind of been definitely big bro in that series. They've had more playoff success in terms of getting into the playoff, not winning games. How is it not Oklahoma? I mean, I think you could look at it this way. I said, who beats Georgia in the regular season until they don't? That's my take on that. So how is it not Oklahoma this year until it's not? I mean, It's just hard for me to say it's not. Yeah, you've got a huge one the next week. You need the momentum of a win. You need to handle Oklahoma. You need Arch Manning taking fourth quarter reps and second team, third team guys taking fourth quarter reps. And I'm saying that against Oklahoma. That's a big ask. It's not Vandy the week, you know, a couple weeks later. You need to handle them because you're positioned to handle them. You're positioned to stop that offense in because they don't have the offensive line to protect young Jackson Arnold, who's going to be in a heck of an environment. You know, just to kind of look at Oklahoma the week before both teams are off. So, you know, that sets up pretty well for both teams. I mean, this should be a really, really good game, but I would say Texas has got to pull away as it goes. And to me, it's still the swing game of the year because maybe if they had beaten them last year, I wouldn't even say that. Maybe I would point directly back to Michigan because we pointed, you know, to another team. When we did talk about Florida, excuse me, from earlier, we did talk about Florida. We talked about the Miami game, how things could fall off if that didn't work out. Can't believe I forgot about that episode. I'm doing a really good job here. But, again, swing game in this case is Oklahoma. And that, to me, is hard to argue, even if you talk about the magnitude of going to Ann Arbor. You know, I know that's big, but you've got a good chance to get right back on the horse if you don't handle business there. I believe that about does it for this episode, this look in to the Texas Longhorns. Again, just want to reiterate, you know, rooting for these guys. We need them to do their thing. They're pointing right back in the correct direction of doing that, which I think is great. So we'll see what they do. If they were in the Big 12, I'd be rooting for them to go win that conference. Now they're in my conference, so just go beat my enemies. Go beat Georgia, beat Alabama when you see them. Beat Florida down this year. Make them think about, you know, hiring Dooley or Butch or someone of that ilk. But we thank you so much for tuning in to the Pandemonium Reigns podcast. Maybe going forward, I'll remember the episodes that we recorded. It's not likely because I'm getting old. We thank you so much for tuning in. God bless. Go Big Orange.